Let's pray. And so, Father God, now we pray. And we pray very specifically regarding your word, your spirit, and what you've promised them to be. And we pray that they be just that in this moment. That your word be a living, active sword. That your spirit be comfort, conviction, opening of eyes. Those are promises we hold to that gives us hope in this moment to open this word, to say that we need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I haven't seen Far Side cartoons in a while, so I don't know if they're still floating around or even you're familiar with his style of humor. If that's a style of humor, is probably what I'd go with that one. I think most of us have been in this kind of a moment, right? Where you are so in a rush where you don't even pay attention to the simple instruction, whether it means to push or to pull, and you go up to a door that says push, and you yank a pull with all your might, and nothing happens. And then what do you do? You get frustrated. The door didn't do what you wanted to do. And then finally you look down and you see it's not a push, it's a pull. And then what you do is you look around to make sure that no one saw your momentary incompetence and is laughing at you right now. Laughing at a simple ability not to read instructions, not to follow them. Today we start a week of prayer. And as a church, you'll be given time to pray. You'll be urged to pray. But in all the praying that I hope we do in the next week, and really even in the next year, I'm concerned that a good bit of that prayer will ignore the simple instructions on how to pray. Like we all come to prayer and we push when the instructions of prayer and God's word say pull. And those push or pulls are interchangeable. Basically, we don't follow the instructions. And because we don't follow the instructions, it doesn't work the way we think it's supposed to work. We come to prayer doing one thing, expecting one thing to happen, and then it doesn't happen, and we throw up our hands and saying, this didn't work. What was the point of all this? The problem was not with prayer. The problem was that we didn't take the time to comprehend the instructions of how to pray. When we view prayer as nothing more than a suggestion box to God of how to make our life better, we will doubt God. We will doubt his goodness. We will become frustrated and maybe even bitter. But the problem is not with God in that moment. The problem with us and our inability to follow the instructions of what prayer is actually supposed to be in our life. The instruction is very simple. We pray, your will be done. Matthew 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6, is where we find these instructions. You could turn to Luke 11 and find them as well. It's the Lord's Prayer. In Luke 11, the disciples are actually asked the question, Jesus, can you teach us to pray? Like, can you give us a how-to manual of actually how to do this? Like, these are instructions. That's what they're meant to be for us. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6, these instructions on prayer aren't what the disciples asked for. Jesus just gives them. In Matthew 6, he's preaching a sermon. And this sermon is a sermon that really just comes down to how to do life in God's kingdom. In the kingdom of Christ. And so it gives instructions. It gives some hard instructions. Things like, Christian, you be salt and light in this world instructions. It gives down to heart issues where Jesus says, I've already come to fulfill the law. It's done. And that's a really good thing because if you had to fulfill the law, you've missed the whole point of it. Because the law reaches down to your heart problems. Because if you're angry, you're already guilty of murder. If you're lustful, you're already guilty of adultery. He pushes to the heart level. Love your enemies. Don't retaliate when someone does evil against you. And in fact, when you do good, don't do it to be seen. You don't have to sound some trumpets when you give to the poor. You don't have to post on Facebook. Just do what's right. He's getting down to just simple, this is what it means to live in the kingdom of God. So in the instructions of what it means to live in the kingdom of God, this prayer fits right in of saying, okay, then if this is what it means to do this, then look at this prayer as the impetus ability to give you to do what you're supposed to do that I've already called you to do. Love your enemies. Well, then let's pray, forgive, help me forgive those who've wronged me as I forgive me as I forgive others. We've already gotten to this. So you should live in my kingdom. Well, then let's pray, your kingdom come, God. Your will be done. And so here's his instruction manual. How are we supposed to pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you guys could have, just like, how many of you, after I said our Father, could have gone on autopilot and given me the rest of it? Whoa. How many of you were just trained growing up that you just wrote, said this one over and over again? I knew some of you were, that's exactly where you were at. Can you be honest? How many of you have said it so many times you almost kind of cringe when this is said now? Kind of takes you back. I know you are familiar with this. I know as far as I read it, you guys said it in some of the same cadence you have said it since you were a little kid. Some of you guys visualized different religious experiences from times past. What I hope to do this morning is simply take one phrase and make us just consider one phrase over and over again. For you that are taking notes, you notice on the handout in the bulletin, it's blank. Like I gave you a title, a date, and a passage. And after that, it's just kind of like, who knows where we're going, right, Pastor? Because there's nothing else there on the piece of paper. Honestly, it's because we're going to take one phrase and we're just going to pick this one phrase up and turn it over and over and over and over again and consider this one phrase, your will be done. This is a radically crazy phrase. Everything about your nature and my nature goes against praying that phrase. From Adam and Eve, mankind, every woman, every man, every child has been opposed to praying your will be done by nature. The natural impulse is to pray, I want my will. I mean, God starts with it. Here's my will. Adam and Eve, my will is you don't eat that tree right there in the garden. That one right over there. That's my will. Don't do that. And what does Adam and Eve do? From God giving his will, automatically there becomes a battle of wills now. And their will at some point is, I hear you, God, but we're going to eat. And from that moment on, there has become a battle of wills that every individual has become programmed by birth for their will to be done. It shows up over and over again throughout the book of Genesis. You can just see the track record is there now. Adam and Eve are off the scene. And God says, okay, go out and scatter around this world and be fruitful and multiply over all the world. And mankind says, you know what sounds good? Let's just stay here all in one place and make a big tower right here up to heaven. That sounds like a good idea. What's happening? It is God's dictated will and man's will says they don't match right now. Through Moses, God goes to Pharaoh and says, okay, here's my will. Let my people go. And Pharaoh's will says, no, not going to happen. God's will to Israel says, here's my will. Let no idol before you. And Israel's will says, yeah, hear you there, God. How about a golden calf this time, guys? Do you see what happens with this phrase when we get to this prayer by Jesus Christ? And here's the instructions to pray. Pray, your will be done, God. And every fiber of our being has been bent to say, no. It's my will. It's completely against our nature. I love my kids. But not one of my kids came into this world ready to obey a will other than their own. They're programmed from birth to say, I want what I want, when I want it, and when you are not giving me what I want, I will communicate louder to get you on my agenda, because this is my agenda. And parents, before you shake your head and say, amen, that's so true, we're no better. Because still within our makeup, we don't want to be told what to do, because in our makeup, we want our way. Your will be done is at the heart of why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Isaiah 53 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're doing our own thing, our own agenda, our own will, our own desires, our own plans. Your will be done? No. Our life exudes from birth my will. By definition, that is against God, and therefore by definition, that is sin. And God must and will judge that my will attitude with eternal punishment in hell. That is the heart of why Jesus Christ comes. To pay the penalty of our rebellious, my will be done, not your will, God. And to pay the penalty for that on the cross, so that anybody who trusts in that and repents from their my way to God's way goes from being God's enemy of rebellion to his child. Now, just walk with me this. Your will be done. All the way through Scripture, we see that this is a battle between our will and God's will. So now that we're Christians, Sunday morning crowd, we're Christians, the whole battle between my will and God's will must be done by now, right? Like it's just, amen, saved by God's grace, God's will be done. It just flows off my lips with ease now, right? Paul pushes back right away to that. Romans 7, there's a battle within me now. Like there's things I want to do, my heart is bent to them, but then when I see I want to do those things, something else rises within me. Christian, we can testify there is real battle when we get to this phrase, your will be done. Because there is still so much of our heart that says, I want my way. In moments of temptation, I want my way. In moments of setting dreams and agendas, I want my way. Priorities, I want my way. And when we have this, we begin to abuse and misuse prayer. Because for us at those moments, our prayer is nothing more than self-centered, pride-filled requests that can be boiled down to, I want my way. If we're honest, many of us approach prayer with the thinking that prayer is us telling God what we want, how we want it, and when we want it. My will be done. My youngest son illustrated this week. He's in children's church, so I get to use him. Plus, he's three, so he doesn't remember what I say against him in the pulpit, okay? My other kids, they're done being used by illustration now. My youngest has illustrated how we use prayer to get our own way. Usually what he does, it's passive-aggressive prayer for him. When it's his turn to pray for supper, he will pray with his eyes open, which it's not a big deal. But he prays with his eyes open, looking at the table, and he will thank God only for the items that he wants to eat for dinner that night. Okay, what's he saying? I'm using prayer to get what I want. God, thank you for the chicken. Thank you for the water. Thank you for my plate. And thank you for bread. You know what he didn't say? Thank you for broccoli. It didn't make it to his prayer. He's communicating prayers used to get my way. Now, this week, he actually took it a step further. I wasn't there. I came back after lunch, and Marcia informed me that my youngest took prayer to another level. Because in his prayer, he said, God, thank you for everything I want. And then, God, would you turn my water into orange juice? Amen. Okay. Now, he's heard the Bible, right? Jesus can do water into wine. He's got the orange juice thing down. Same concept. What's it is? God, I want orange juice today, so make it happen. Help me not have to drink water anymore. Always orange juice. Now, I pushed him. I said, Lincoln, God wants you to obey. God's will is that you obey mom and dad, and mom and dad said water today. And he looks at me and says, I think God's going to change his mind. My little theologian has already shown that he believes how a lot of us believe about prayer. God, my will today is orange juice. Now make it happen. I don't like what I have right now. I want this. Make it happen. We've moved past orange juice because we can just go to the supermarket and get that if we want that. So now prayer is, God, you should heal me, make work better this year, fix that relationship, change that person and that person, and you probably should have it all done by 3:00 this afternoon. And even my son's statement of, I think God will change his mind, is what we often believe about prayer. I'm going to twist God's arm to give me what I want now. I firmly believe this is why many of us don't pray. We don't pray because we are too busy about our own will getting done. And we only think to pray when it's shown that we don't have the ability to make our will happen the way we want it to happen. And then at that moment, we decide we should pray as somehow prayer is going to be an extra spiritual boost to get my will to happen the way I want it to happen. And then it doesn't happen the way I want it to happen. And so I put the blame on prayer. It didn't work, so why bother it next time? Because it didn't help my will happen the way I want it to happen anyway. Church, the instructions tell us how to pray. We pray by coming to God our Father with a desire that overarches every one of our desires. Your will be done. God, I pour out my burdens, I pour out my prayer requests, I pour out my tears. But in all of these, the reverberation between everything I'm praying to you is that your will would be done right now, God. So what does it mean to pray your will be done? It's a battle to do it. If we do it, what does it mean? Scripture gives two ways to refer to God's will. And I think it's important for us to wrestle with what this looks like, because we can't just say we pray God's will, because they mean very different things. There's an aspect of God's will that is a decreed, a sovereign will of God. It is the will of God that God, as sovereign creator, God has declared, this is what is going to happen, and it's going to happen. Scripture goes all throughout Scripture like this. We just know this is what it's going to be. Psalms declares this. For I know that the Lord is great, that our God is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and earth, in the seas and in the deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightning for rain and brings forth wind from his storehouses. God is saying, here's his will. He's God. He can make it happen. He wants lightning there. He wants clouds over there. He wants raindrops over there. There's no ifs. There's no buts. There's no maybes. There's no 50% chance it might or might not happen. He's God. It will happen. He decreed it. So pray the will of God. In some ways, you're saying, I'm praying that God will do exactly what God said he's going to do. And it's not just the weather. Isaiah. Yet it was the will of God to crush him. Who's the him? Jesus Christ. No conniving from Satan. No betrayal from Judas. No working of a Roman Empire could derail the plan of God. It was his will to crush his son so that he might offer up his son as payment for sin to redeem us. God's will not be derailed. It will happen. He's a great God. So if your will be done is the prayer request, and that prayer is referring to God's decreed will that is guaranteed to be happening, that means that our prayer of coming to God that your will be done is praying exactly what will happen is what God's promised will happen. I'm going to give you a really simple definition of prayer from that. And it's going to disappoint some of you. Prayer is the act of asking God to do what he's already promised to do. Prayer is, you want all your prayer requests answered? Pray that God will be faithful to his promises. And you say, why would we pray for something that God's already going to give us? But that's what this prayer is doing. Your kingdom come. That's a prayer request. Is that a guarantee? Some of you guys are having bad days. Okay, let's try this again. Prayer request, your kingdom come. Is that a guaranteed promise by God? It's going to happen. There is no maybe. Christ's kingdom is going to come. He will reign forever and ever. Amen. It will happen. So if it's going to happen, why are we going to pray about it? But that's what's going on here. Your will be done. Well, it's going to happen? Yep. Keep going. Give us this day our daily bread. Has God already promised to meet our needs? Yeah, within the same section, he says, I clothe the lilies of the field. Like, don't you think I got you covered? Like, I know when the sparrows fall down. Like, I got them all taken care of. Don't you think you're a little bit more important? I got you covered. And yet here he comes along and says, here, pray that your daily bread is provided for. Forgive us our debts. Has he promised that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Yes. We're simply praying what he's already promised to do. Some of you are like, why? Like, this seems like we're not accomplishing anything. Let me take this a little bit farther. Does God already know all your needs? Yes. So why are we going to take time and tell God all our needs? Like, he already knows them. In fact, look up in our passage. You're in Matthew 6. Look up a few verses. Verse 7. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles, like the pagans do. For they think they're going to be heard for their many words. They think if they rattle off enough phrases, that God's going to hear them. Don't be like them. Why don't you be like them? For your Father knows that what you need before you even ask. God knows every one of your needs before you open your mouth up. One of my favorite things to pray as a family at the end of the day, it sounds a little bit different between the day, but it goes something like this. God, I thank you today. Today wasn't what we planned it to be. But I thank you that it didn't surprise you. And even though we didn't plan what happened, you met our needs through everything that happened. And then usually what happens in that prayer is that, God, I thank you tomorrow. You already know where we're going to need tomorrow too. He already knows every one of our needs. I'm convinced that some of us have this idea of prayer that we need to come to God and list every one of our needs because if we don't do it, he's just not going to know. Like somehow God's up in heaven waiting for us to pray, and then he has these moments like, I did not know Frank needed that this week. Man, we should have been on that one a long time ago, right? All right, let's take care of that one now. He's God. He knows it. So now some of us are pushing, like you're saying, Pastor, so if he already knows it and he's already decreed what's going to happen, his will, why are we even doing this week? Like, let's get on with something else. Parents, I think you can picture exactly what's happening here. You have those moments where you take your kids maybe to the playground? And because all of our kids are perfect kids, our kids are pushed over by some bully or something like that, okay? It was never the other way around. I've never met a parent of the bully, okay? So your kid is mistreated and you see the whole thing happen, okay? And your heart breaks for your kid. You know exactly what happened. You see it in their face. You know the pain they're experiencing, the physical and the emotional pain. And you come alongside them and you put your arm around them and you say, you want to tell me about it? You already know it all. But there's a relational aspect of prayer of God saying, you want to tell me about this? I know it. I got this taken care of. In fact, open up your Bible. I promise to do this. I promise to forgive this. I promise to restore this. I promise to redeem you. I promise my kingdom to come. I promise to provide for you. I got it. But you want to tell me about it? We pray. I think there's also an aspect of remembrance. I'm not praying to help God not forget what I need. I'm praying to help me remember who's actually going to provide for what I need. See, I'm praying promises of God to build my faith and my trust in moments of life. If we could simply come to this concept, and we need to get to this. Prayer is not about us changing God. It's about us being transformed. God has this plan. It's perfect. I'm coming to God to say, God, I need to know who you are more. And there are moments where I forget and there are moments I doubt you. And God, I have these burdens and I know you're God and you're good and you're sufficient. Help me trust you. I don't know if you catch this. My pastoral prayer week after week after week. We pray through big needs within our body. The vast majority of the time we pray is praying about the individual spiritual walk with God and fruit in the midst of suffering. Not, God, are you going to remove everything from their life and make it perfect again? Because it wasn't perfect in the first place. Is God, change me? Now, there's this will of God where he decreed and says, thus says the Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And there's no question he's going to do it. It's a guarantee. But there's another aspect of God's will. There's a will of God that is a will of command. So if you have a will of decree, this is, thus says the Lord, this is what's going to happen. Book it. But then there's also a will of command that as you walk through scripture, there's a will stated by God that this is what I want to happen. That's not a guarantee it's going to happen. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Which means there's a whole bunch of people who are not going to do God's will. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God. Your sanctification. God has a will. He's declared what is right and good. What is righteous. This is my will. Obey this. Are we going to perfectly obey that? No. In fact, the vast majority of mankind will reject that. They'll rebel against it. When we pray, your will be done. We are praying a transformational prayer in our hearts. Because we are praying, God, I so want you to work in my life that I would do what you desire me to do, your will. God's will is that we would be so transformed that we would know God more and more, that we would glorify him more and more, that we would love him more and more. His will. God, I pray you would so work in my life to transform me. You'd reshape my heart. You'd grow me. You'd change me. God, I want your will in my marriage. God, I want your will in my community. I want your will to happen within my church body. It is a prayer saying, God, would you transform us? Would you cause us to know you more? Would you cause us to love you more? Would you cause us to glorify you more and more? Your will be done. Let's just have a moment of honesty. We struggle with that. We've been doing prayer week for 7 years now. I'm going to say more about this later after we sing a few more songs. We struggle with prayer. We struggle getting to the point where our desire is, God, this is what I want. Today, I want your will. How do we get to that point? How do we get to the point where we could actually pray this? I know I've already been talking for a while. I asked myself this question several times this past week of, okay, God, here's this big prayer we're supposed to pray, your will be done. How do we get to a point, not just to say it rote, I know we can do that. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, we got it. How can we actually get to this point where we would actually be willing and eager to pray, your will be done today, God? I can pray God's will be done only when I give up my claim to my will be done in my life. We will never eagerly pray your will be done until we come to the point in our life where we give up any sense of claim, autonomy, right to our life. To say your will be done means we're not looking at our life as ours to do with it as we see fit. To do what we want. Your children to plan your dream, their dreams. Your stuff to hold on to. Until we forsake the ownership of all that we have, we will not pray your will be done. In reality, it already is God's. He created it. It's his. He bought it with a price on the cross with Jesus Christ. It's his. Our life's not our own. But praying your will be done flows out of an adjustment of thinking that reorients myself away from this is my life, this is my dreams, this is my agenda, these are my abilities, this is what I want to do. And it reorients myself into saying, no, this is actually God's life. He bought it. This is God's stuff. He gave it to me. This is God's ability. He bestowed it upon me. Your will be done with it now, God, because it's yours. It's your will be done. I don't like borrowing people's tools. I like tools, okay? I like having my own tools, okay? There's a primary I don't like borrowing tools because it's not mine, and I'm always scared I'm going to mess up a tool because I'm hard on my tools. The last project I did was really simple. I put in some shelves in my closet. Sinkers into a wall. All you need is a drill, screwdriver, and a hammer. I didn't pick up a hammer. You'd think I'd stop and go down to the basement and grab a hammer, but no, I'd take my drill and start banging up I'm just gonna accomplish it with what I have. And so there's oftentimes I will break a tool. I'm okay with that. Why? It's my tool. I can treat my tools however I want to treat my tools. They're mine. Some of you guys are making mental notes right now. Do not loan Pastor Love any of my tools. That's probably a good rule. Just don't do that, okay? But when it's mine, I can treat it the way I want to treat it. I bought it. I put it in my toolbox. If I want to use a screwdriver like a chisel, I can have at it. It's mine. If my life is God's, and my resources are God's, and my abilities are God's, and my talents are God's, and my time is God, then doesn't he have the right to use it however he sees fit to use it? Your will be done. But until I come to the point where I say that is true, I will continually be fighting back at what God is doing in my life. Because there are going to be times where I'm saying, God, I didn't give you that part. Like that, I told you could do what you want to do with this over here. Like, I gave that to you. And he's like, no, it's all mine anyway. No. Until I pray, your will be done, it only happens when I know that everything I have is God's anyways. I can pray God's will be done only when I am convinced that God's will is best. We're not convinced of this. We have moments when we're convinced that what is best is the temporary joy and pleasure that we'll experience in a moment of sin. We are convinced that what is best is being true to ourselves and our identity instead of dying to self and taking up a cross and following Him. We are convinced that at moments what is best is our ease. We're not convinced of this. We are convinced that what is best is our glory. We are convinced that what is best is being validated on the job, being vindicated by God in front of others, being proved to be was right, being lifted up and being exalted ourselves. But God's will is that I would know Him. That I become more and more like my Savior, Jesus Christ, that I would glorify Him until I'm convinced that that is what is best. I will always struggle to pray, "Your will be done." Because in the back of my mind, what I really still want is my will, which I think is better today. What is best in my life has nothing to do with my health, my bank account, my job, or my family. What is best in my life is for God's will for me. I would know Him more and become more and more like my Savior, Jesus Christ. And until I view that as the greatest treasure of my life, I will struggle praying, "Your will be done." Because the prayer, "Your will be done," will push me in places that I don't think are good. Because God's agenda and my agenda are different. I'm not trying to be mean. But so much of our prayers show what we truly view as best. Because so much of our prayer is simply, "God, make my life better and make heaven on earth." And God is working for something far more eternal and far more glorious and far more important. He's working to transform us. So much of our prayer is about temporary things when God's working on eternal things. And it's because we are consumed in thinking this is what is best, this is what is good. And God is saying, "I'm working on a whole nother agenda here. Your will be done." Church, this is a wrestle. This is a wrestle. I had numerous prayers last, 2 years that were a straight up wrestling match. I hope you know what that means. Okay. There are prayers where I would start and I'd pray and I'd just be pouring out what I want God to do. "God, I want you to do this, and you're going to solve this, and you're going to solve this, and God, I want you to do this." And then in some moment of that, I become convicted, saying, "All I'm really praying for is, God, what I want." Not necessarily bad things, but "God, I'm just praying for what I want. And really, I want these because not it's going to bring you more glory, it's going to be because it's going to make my life better." And then there's this moment, that's where the wrestle happens now. Because in that moment, am I going to stop and actually pray, "God, what I want what you want. I want your will to be done in these situations." I'll be the first to admit, that didn't flow off the tongue right away. Because I was convinced that what I had just prayed for was best. And that's where the wrestle would come. That's where there'd be long, dramatic pauses in prayer. Where I don't want to pray this, and I want to give up what I just said is best. And I'd have to run in my head to truth over truth about who my God is. "God, you are good to me. And God, you are wise to me. And God, you are sufficient. And God, you are loving. And God, you are gracious. And God, you are powerful." And because of all that I can't wrap my head around, "Your will be done." To pray "Your will be done" is the ultimate trust factor upon God. "God, I trust you. You're going to make the best decision. I know who you are. I know you're good. I know you're loving. You're not out to abuse me. It really matters on who we're praying to. I don't know if you go through this. When you have to go to a restaurant with somebody, and you never want to be that person that says, let's go here and be selfish, right? At least, I should say this. You want to get your way, but you want to have them offer what your way should be first, because then you want to sound nice. And so typically we give the phrase, whatever you want. Okay, I'll go wherever you want. Now, I say that sometimes to some people, and I say it with confidence. Like my wife and I, we just have the same palate. We like the same things. We love the same kind of foods. We love Mexican food. We love Chinese food. We just like it all, okay? And so when we're at date night, I have no problem with saying, Marcia, wherever you want to go, let's go. And I also can say it with confidence because I know Marcia is like, she's a little more budget conscious than I am probably. So like she's not even going to blow the budget. Like she's not going to say, let's go $100 a plate kind of place. She's going to keep it reasonable. She's going to say, let's go to Jumbo's. I'm like, yes, that's what I was thinking. Okay, so I can put it out there. I can say, Marcia, whatever your will is, with confidence, because I know who she is. I know it's going to be a good decision. And what she says is going to be a great decision. I'm going to enjoy it thoroughly. Okay, when it's staff time to go out to meals, Caleb and I, we love a lot of the same things, but in a Venn diagram, there's some things we don't overlap on. Like Caleb loves Sushi Wednesdays at Meijer. Okay. God doesn't want us eating raw foods. I'm convinced of that, okay? I'm just straight up convinced of that. So there's a part of me that like, I have a harder time saying, like, yeah, Caleb, wherever you want, let's go for that one. Because there's a few things he's going to choose that are not on my like list. You see, the person I'm saying it to matters in this moment. Who am I saying your will be done to? I'm saying it to an infinitely good, perfect, all-wise God. What he picks as his will be perfect. And until I'm convinced of that, I will struggle saying your will be done. But it's not just agreeing upon God about his will being best. I can only pray, God, your will be done, when I am convinced God's way of bringing about God's will is best. See, I can agree with God that the destination is good. God, I agree with you. Knowing you, loving you, glorifying you more, amen, God. That's a good destination. Bring that on, God. But until I'm convinced that how God is going to bring that about is best, I will not pray your will be done. What does God often use to bring about his will in our life? Suffering, struggle, pain. God knows they are wonderful teachers, and we hate them. I think many times we're convinced that God's will is best. Know God more, love God more, glorify God. Amen, God. I could do that if you put me on a beach somewhere warm. Just trust me, God. That would get me to the destination, no problems. Yet God in his infinite wisdom knows exactly the best way to bring about his best will. Have we considered that much of our prayers could actually be asking God to remove the very means that God has brought into our life to accomplish his will? I'm going to say that again. Have we considered that much of our prayer requests are asking God to remove the very means that God has brought into our life to bring about his will? I'm not saying don't pray for things. Paul prays, God, remove this thorn in the flesh. I'm ready to tap out, God. I'm done. But still trust when God says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's staying because I know it's best. God knows exactly what he needs to do in each one of our lives to bring about his goodwill. Jesus tells us, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And he practiced it. Because there was going to come a night in the garden where Jesus was going to get to the moment of anguish. Ready to physically, spiritually, and supernaturally struggle like no one has ever struggled before. And in a moment facing the precipice of the intense trial, he prays, not what I will, what you will be done. That prayer in that moment is not Jesus saying, God, I don't want your will to save individuals. That's not what's going on there. The Trinity was fully in agreement about a desired end of redemption. What is going on in that moment is Jesus saying, God, if there is any other way to reach the desired destination of your perfect will other than me on the cross, let's do that. But ultimately, I trust you have the perfect way to bring about your perfect means. So not what I will, what you will be done, God. There is a trust not just of the destination of God's perfect will, but also the means to bring about the will. And in Jesus Christ in that moment, the means was him anguishing upon a cross to make payment for sin so that God's perfect will could come about. Redemption. Your will be done. The last few summers, my family has taken trips. It's taken East Coast, which has taken us through Western Pennsylvania. We've not stopped. I've always wanted to, but I'm always too task-oriented to reach my destination to take the side off in the exit in Western Pennsylvania for Memorial, where Flight 93 crashed on September 11th. Todd Beamer was one of the individuals on that flight who left his seat and retook the plane from the terrorists to avoid whatever fourth target would have been on September 11th. Before he got out of his seat, he prayed with the airphone operator the Lord's Prayer. Now, when I read that, there's part of me that, as a cynic, knowing how the Lord's Prayer has been used by many people, I kind of shrugged and thought, well, that's just a really nice sentimental, spiritual act to do before he steps out of. But after all the events happened, his wife explained her husband's praying that prayer. And she says, I don't think that Todd chose to die. But he did choose for God's will to be done in his life. Knowing that, he stepped into the aisle of the plane, trusting by faith that regardless of what happened, God would be true to his word, his will would be done. That's an extreme example, I know. But it is the example of what it means to say, God, your will be done. I trust you. It's not my life. It's not my ownership. It's your will. Your will is best. And whatever you see fit to bring about that will, it's best. Can you pray like that? Were our prayers this week going to be nothing more than suggestion boxes about how God can bring about our will and make our life better? Or will we actually be humble enough to say, God, you know better. And I'm going to pray your will be done in such a way that I want you to change me and transform me. Your perfect will in your perfect way. Let's pray. Father God, I say thank you for your word. I say thank you for your goodness. You are a good God. I ask, as we contemplate this phrase here for a second, there are individuals who just, you straight up never, have never waved the white flag and said, God is not my life. It's no longer my agenda. I submit to Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I turn from my sin and I trust in him alone as payment for my sin. If that's not true in your life, I'd plead with you to consider Jesus Christ. I plead with you to consider what it means to face a holy God that would justly pay, just justly judge you for your sin. Christian, can you pray this way? Can we follow the instructions on what it means to pray this week? Or are we going to get frustrated because we're busy pulling when we should be pushing? Your will be done, God. Father, I end the prayer in some way praying what I know I should pray. Your will be done. But also praying that that is true prayer in our hearts. That we would ultimately desire your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.